process, maybe working together. I know there's been some research that's looked at the fact that some creative practitioners will set up an activity but be unaware of maybe the challenges. So it's a case of making sure that people, the creative industries, could actually provide some training for staff, or just a basic awareness of some of the challenges that they might face and the difficulties, and the just the importance of actually the sectors working together. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, interdisciplinary working, or whichever, multidisciplinary working, whichever you think, is just so important.
Yeah.
Because, and that can be challenging, because quite often the people using different language, you know, different terminology for things, which actually makes, from my point of view, makes it really interesting. But actually, I think, yeah, it's having those conversations to work together. You know, that's, again, you know, one of the things with Magic Me worked with the artists and the care homes to try and broker that sort of relationship, because they'd had lots of experience working in different settings. They sort of broke that relationship and mentored the artists into the care homes to help them, to support them with that process, and provided extra training for the artists.
And that in itself is quite a costly thing as well, to have to put that funding package together, where you have that intermediary who's helping to negotiate between those two partners. I mean, you can kind of see why some things can only be funded for a certain amount of time. So, I mean, I think there's a lot, the language thing, I think, is a really important one as well, in terms of how we start speaking in a health language as well. And I was listening to a conference from the National Centre for Creative Health, and they were kind of talking about using different metrics that the NHS uses and trying to appropriate that language, which is the way in which we can kind of make the creative industries can make the case better, is by speaking a different language. But I can also see that, you know, at the same time, the creative industries, creative people and artists really need to understand the language of health from a kind of from an actual offering those services perspective as well, and understanding, like you said, the kind of the limitations of people in different settings and the limitations of different health challenges. So that kind of co-creation piece is so important, isn't it, to kind of come together and work out that model together. That was really interesting. Thank you so much for that. And I just wanted to ask you a little bit, so we talked a little bit at the beginning about your career pathway. So you were going down that more health route. Was that something, like, when you were younger, did you always think about wanting to work in the health sector, or wanting to end up working in a university or being an academic? You know, was that ever in your trajectory when you were younger?
No, not at all.
How did you get there then, Hilary?
Yeah, I started off, went into healthcare, so I was a radiographer, trained as a radiographer and worked as a radiographer. And then I had children, and the nights and weekends, etc., weren't conducive to a young family. So I decided to go and do a master's, and then became very interested in research. And so I did a PhD, but I was interested in health service research at that time. But I had no, and I did imagine myself just doing research, and I wasn't really, I didn't think about it as being in a university and what that meant. I had no idea. I think, you know, when I was younger, I had no vision of where I would be. You know, I know some young people do have a vocation. I didn't, I think, probably. So it's just taking opportunities when they arose, and just going things which perhaps I wasn't expecting, and just going for things.
Yeah.
Trying stuff.
And one of the things that we always ask everyone who comes on our show, and I think we've borrowed it from someone else as a concept, and I think somebody else has now borrowed it from us, but anyway, we keep on asking it, is this idea that, you know, at any point in your career, there are so many things that you learn along the way. And, you know, we talk a lot on our show about learning from our mistakes, and that mistakes are absolutely vital to professional growth and development. But one of the things that we're really fascinated by is what advice you might give your former younger self, because there's lots of things that you've picked up along the way that you may have picked up from other people, that you may have found some fantastic advice or support that's helped you. But if you could, you know, walk down the street and see your 18-year-old self, and just, what would be that thing that you'd say, Hilary, you need to know this? Somebody told me this, and I need to pass it on to you at this point in your life.
Yeah, I think I might just go back to the point you made, is that actually very few people at the age of 18 know what they want to do, and that's not a bad thing, and that just, like, take things as they come and just grab the opportunities when they arise, I think. But I think that would be it, really. In terms of what I've learned, I think most of what I've learned is about working with other people and how to work with other people, and how you actually get much further by collaborating with other people.
Yeah, I agree. I think the world of work is about being with other people.
Yeah.
That's really what it is, unless you're very lucky to be a farmer in the Outer Hebrides and your relationship is mostly with livestock, then, you know, at some point, most of us will have to encounter working with people. Mm. And how that happens and how that works and how effective that is something that I think I'm always practicing. Yeah. I'm always thinking about how could I improve that? What would work better in that situation? Who do I need in the room with me to work those things out? You know, it's very much part of my working life as well as how we work with people. It comes with challenges, I think. I've got two teenage children and they are terrified of people. Mm. It does come with some challenges around the fact that they've, you know, most of the young people coming out of school or in the first 2 or 3 years of university have had a very different disrupted childhood and teenage years, and their ability to communicate with each other is challenged and different because, you know, technology has moved on such a pace. So I do wonder what the world of work looks like in the future, particularly around humans working with each other. And now we've got this amorphous thing of AI and everything else coming on the horizon, and how we make the most of that. But how can that really help us communicate and work better as humans together?
Yeah, I think you're right, particularly young people at the moment, and, well, anybody over the, well, very young children as well are very badly affected as well, aren't they? You know, my son's a primary school teacher and seeing that now.
Yes, yeah. I have a few friends who are primary school teachers, and the difference in children's social ability now compared to sort of 5 years ago is quite stark. That, I think that's really good advice, because I think there are lots of people who are at that kind of leaving school age where pressure to know what you have to do next is still very much felt upon that age group. And so perhaps a little bit of, it doesn't really matter. One of the things that I've heard quite a lot recently, particularly for parents with neurodiverse children, is it doesn't really matter if you don't do those grades now.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter. You can come back to them in the future. Yeah. There is no race that you're in that you have to do everything now. Thank you so much, Hilary, for joining me again on the ARC programme here on Phoenix FM. And thank you for sharing your thoughts with us.
You're welcome. And good hearing it. No, thanks very much, Claire.
Oh, that was great. I hope you enjoyed that. And also, thank you to Hilary for suggesting the music during that as well. So we had Kate Bush with Running Up That Hill, and then we had The Divine Comedy with The Best Mistakes. Love that song. And you'll remember our 7 degrees of separation to The Divine Comedy that we did a couple of years ago. And then we had Minnie Riperton with Les Fleurs. It was just a lovely, lovely set list. So thank you so much for that, Hilary. Right, we're going to move on now. And if you've got to do a search of songs with heel in the title, as in healing and heel, this one has to come up, doesn't it?
Help you, please let me try. must have really hurt you to make you say the things that you do. He must have really hurt you to make those pretty eyes look so, so blue. He must have known that he could, that you'd never leave him. Now you can't see my love is a good, and that I'm not good. You please let me try to. I can heal the pain. Won't you let me inside whenever you want me? You know that I will be waiting for the day that you say you'll be mine. Won't you let me in? Let this love begin. Won't you show me?
Events guide sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
Here's some local events then to keep you happy over the next few weeks. Of course, every Monday night, do not forget to turn up to the Essex Arms on Worley Hill and hear the Phoenix FM Open Mic Night, hosted by our very own Kev Piggott, who is there from 8 till 10pm, spinning all the tracks that you might want to sing along to, or you can take your guitar and sing a cappella with your own guitar. If you have done a good job on the night, he may well profile you on his show on Sunday mornings from 10am. So get along to that every Monday night. And then on Friday, the 22nd of March, there is a community open day at the Chantry Centre in Billericay. It's hosted by the Billericay Town Council with over 20 local groups in attendance who want to speak to members of the public about what their groups offer and any volunteering opportunities that are available. It's a really great way to get out and meet new people. All sorts of different organisations there, like Men's Sheds, Billericay Cinema Club, the Girl Guides, the Billericay Morris Men, Essex Wellbeing, all sorts of people there. So get along and see if you can maybe help out and become a volunteer, or just find out about what all those local groups are doing. That's at the Chantry Centre on Friday the 22nd of March, and you can go to billericaytowncouncil.gov.uk for more information. That's all for now, and we'll get back to the show.
Phoenix FM's events guide, sponsored by Brandler Galleries. Visit us at 1 Copfold Road, Brentwood, or call on 01277 222269. Pictures for pleasure and profit.
Treat me like a patient, just don't keep me waiting, or I'll just be wasted in a crowd of the lonely. I need you to inspire me when I can't inspire myself. I need you to provide for me when I
don't allow me. Lay me down, lay me down now. Lay me down, touch my spirit, oh. Lay me down, lay me down now. Lay me down.
And that was Lady Gaga with Heal Me. So we are back to our next interview, our next guest. And this is all about an amazing event that's happening in Basildon next weekend. It's called The Great Gathering. And it's a celebration of community, really. It's kind of everything to do with volunteers. There's all sorts of events and activities that are going on across all sorts of different places in Basildon as well. It's kind of taking over the whole town. So here's my interview with Dan Thompson, who helped curate it and engaged lots of, worked with lots of different community groups. So let's have a listen. Welcome to the Arts Programme. Dan Thompson, you are here joining us this Sunday. Thank you so much for being with us.
A pleasure to be here. Thanks for asking me.
Dan, I want to hear all about The Great Gathering. This sounds like an incredible festival that's happening over in Basildon. Tell us more. What is The Great Gathering?
I think The Great Gathering is a brilliant thing. It's a celebration of the end of the Volunteering Futures programme that's been happening. So it's bringing together lots of arts, culture, heritage, volunteering things over 4 days to celebrate the brilliant spirit that Basildon has. There's this great kind of bubbling spirit in Basildon of we're going to do it ourselves, we've got to make it happen for ourselves. And this is a festival that celebrates that.
I love that idea. And, you know, we're doing a show today all about kind of health and well-being, and we're celebrating National Social Prescribing Day. But one of the links that you can really make between health and volunteering is that sense of well-being and improving things like, you know, or making a difference to how people feel about where they live and how they and how happy they feel about where they live. Is that some of what this festival is aiming to look at as well, in terms of celebrating those volunteers, telling some of those stories of Basildon?
Absolutely. The first step to making a place better is to be able to imagine a better place in the first place. And that's where the art and the creativity come in. We're celebrating some of the great volunteers that we've really got in Basildon. Keith Brimer-Jones, Potter from the Great Pottery Showdown, has made 75 Basildon 75 mugs that we're giving to 75 people who inspire our team and our volunteers. So 75 people will be getting a handmade Keith Brimer-Jones mug. We've commissioned a new poem about Basildon. A poet called Ralph Dartford is writing about Basildon for us. And Voltage Poetry Project, who is sort of electronic music project, is a project by a guy called Keith Harrison. And he used to live in Basildon as a child. So we've commissioned him to make a piece of music about the town as well. So there's lots of different ways of celebrating what makes the town special.
Yeah. And do you think that really helps with recruiting volunteers? Because one of the things that we need a lot in the creative industries is volunteers, and it's one of those sectors that along with the kind of wider third sector really relies on volunteers. And I know that there's been huge swells of volunteers around certain activities and certain events that have happened across the UK, and there are times when it's harder to attract volunteering. And I think at the moment I feel like it is harder to attract people to become volunteers. There are so many pressures on our time, on our income, all those sorts of things. So have you seen that changing in Basildon at all?
I've worked on big volunteering projects. I mean, I once recruited 12, and I then ran a volunteering platform for a couple of years as well. So I've done lots of different volunteering. What interests me about volunteering is that there's never a problem getting volunteers if it's something interesting, engaging that people want to do. So people are volunteering all the time, and one of the great things about British society is that it is underpinned by this constant volunteering. If you start to really think about the number of groups out there who are doing things not for profit but because they want to, there are loads, and we've got some of those involved. We've got the bell ringers at St Martin's of Tours are going to be ringing the bells for us. We've got Royal Liberty Morris coming into town to dance at Northland Park. All of these kind of groups are volunteering as well, and we don't think of them as volunteering, but they're all different models of volunteering. So there's lots of ways. And we'll also be highlighting through our partners all the different ways that you can get involved in volunteering. We've got a volunteering fair going on the one of the days as well, so you can come along and see what chances there are to get involved in things. And we're running a lot of the things out of the Shine Hub, Creative Basildon's hub, and there'll be lots of information there about how you can get involved in different things around Basildon and the surrounding area.
It feels like this is part and parcel of such a huge investment in community in Basildon over the last sort of 3 or 4 years, since they've had the Creative People and Places project and you know, all the other investment that they've had in Basildon. It really feels like this is a changing place now in Essex. Is that what you're experiencing?
Well, I have a different perspective. I'm an outsider, for starters. I'm not a local resident, so I don't know Basildon that well. But it's been brilliant getting to experience it. And I think when you come in from outside, Basildon seems like a place that's just full of potential and opportunity. And like, it's all the things are there, all the right bits are there. They just need a little bit of life pushed into them, and suddenly it'll be a really interesting place.
Yeah. So you're the curator of this festival, is that right? You've kind of pulled together the programme.
Yeah, I was asked to work with the partners at Creative Basildon, at Trust Links, at the Volunteer Network. I was asked to work with them to shape a programme that celebrated all the work that had gone on through Volunteering Futures. So I've helped bring in some outside people as part of the programme, but also pulling up some things that I could see happening and making sure that they're included. Hopefully it's going to be a really interesting layered programme, lots of things going on, and we're having a shared lunch every day. So we also have lots of chances to meet the people involved and just have lots of conversations and chat about what's going on.
That's really lovely, isn't it? Having that whole opportunity to bring people together each day.
That's the whole point of this. This yeah. whole point of this festival is really the things that are happening are interesting, they're entertaining, they'll be enjoyable, they'll be fun. But also it's about the gaps in between. It's about the time you get to talk to people, meet new people, find out about things you didn't know were going on. And that's really the art of the programming in this festival, is that it creates those gaps for conversation to happen.
So tell me again when it's happening and what people can expect when they turn up.
We're kicking off on Thursday the 21st at Orletto Lounge with a launch event, 6 till 8pm. That's when we'll be giving people their Keith Brimer Jones mugs. I'd be nice for them to come and get those. We'll be unveiling a map of Basildon as well. Then Friday the 22nd, Saturday the 23rd is when most of the things are happening. We've got some workshops. I'm doing some talks that afternoon. And in the evening on Friday, we've got Bernadette Russell doing her brilliant show, 366 Days of Kindness, which is about being kind, carrying out random acts of kindness over the space of a year. Then on the Saturday, we've got lots of stuff going on at Northland Park in the morning. Park run, Essex Pedal Power, park play, tree planting, all sorts of stuff happening there. And Royal Liberty Morris will be turning up to make some noise and dance as well. Then back to the Shine Hub for the afternoon, where there'll be things going on. And Newtown Utopia will be screening in the evening, the brilliant film about Basildon. And then on Sunday, we had a little bit of money left in the budget at the end, so we're going to give away the money we've got left. If you've got an idea for something you'd like to do that can make a difference to Basildon, come along, pitch that idea, we'll hold a public vote, and we'll be giving away about £450 that was left to whoever has the best ideas via public vote on the Sunday.
Oh, wow. That's really exciting. You've got a burgeoning idea that you've always heard about Basildon, and you think that would make a real difference to the town. You can go along.
Absolutely.
And hit it.
We know, amazing. Yeah, we know it's not a huge amount of money, but it might be just a little bit you need to buy the thing you need to kickstart the project and make it happen.
To my love, took it down. I climbed a mountain and I turned around, and I saw my reflection in snow-covered hills, till the landslide brought me down. Oh, mirror in the sky, what is love? Can the child in my heart rise above? Can I sail through the changing ocean tides? Can I handle the seasons of my
celebrate a birthday, anniversary, or maybe an engagement soon? At Brentwood Golf Club, our fully licensed function room is perfect for your special occasion. With reasonable room hire, a fully stocked bar, and access to decorate your theme from 10 a.m, contact Stacey or Chanel in our functions team on 01277 375 101 to find out more. Brentwood Golf Club Function Room, making your celebration that bit more special.
Are you hungry? Then why not try an award-winning Indian takeaway from Hut & Spice? All our meals are cooked to order using the freshest ingredients, bringing you the finest traditional Indian dishes. To order, visit our website at www.hutandspice.com or give us a call on Brentwood 226124 and see why we're the favourite choice of customers across Brentwood to Billericay.
Immerse yourself in the true Mediterranean essence at Lealina Modern Lebanese, nestled on Billericay's vibrant high street. Uncover the magic of our hidden garden. Sip on exceptional cocktails, savor unforgettable cuisine, and create cherished memories that linger long after you leave. Enjoy a complimentary glass of house wine when you mention Phoenix FM upon booking. Available Sunday to Thursday. Terms and conditions apply.
Need a will? Facing redundancy or an employment issue? Searching for some family legal advice? Seeking legal guidance for your commercial business? Or maybe you are moving property and are looking for an excellent conveyancer? Whatever the legal service, for life, business and everything in between, Pinny Telford Solicitors have it covered. Find out more online at www.pinnytelford.co.uk or call our Brentwood office on 01277 211 755 to book an appointment.
Phoenix FM.
And that was Izzy Bizzou with Talking to You. I've been talking to a lot of people this week, haven't I? Let's get back to our second part of my interview with Dan Thompson and hear more about his background in the arts as well. Fantastic. So can I just talk a little bit about you as an artist then? Because obviously you've kind of curated this whole programme. And I've had a look at your website and you kind of work across lots of different ways. And I just wondered if you could just share a little bit with our listeners how you got to be where you are now, Dan. What was your route into becoming an artist, a creative person?
I was incredibly lucky. I come from a quite dull, boring council estate on the edge of Worthing in Sussex. It's one of those late 1940s red brick council estates. And not a lot really happened on that council estate. There certainly wasn't an art gallery to go to. There wasn't a theatre. There weren't things going on. But my English teacher asked me if I could man the follow spot in the drama club production at high school, Durrington High School. And I did the spotlight, and I loved it because I was part of what was going on. I was never confident enough to go on stage, but I was part of what was going on, and I loved that feeling. And just by chance, there's a theatre in Worthing called the Connaught Theatre, and it had just been taken over by a charitable trust at that time, and the new management team had set up a youth theatre company and a youth dance company, and both of those were full of the kind of people you'd expect to be in a youth theatre or a youth dance company. You know, they were nice middle-class people who'd kind of been doing this stuff all their lives. But they also set up a youth technical crew, and that was the first youth tech crew in the country. The first one was back in 1988. And I went along on a Friday night, and I completely fell in love with this world. The first thing we saw was a production of September in the Rain by John Godber. It's probably the first time I'd ever been to see a piece of proper theatre in my life at the age of 13. And we got to go backstage and walk on the set. And my first job there was production of HMS Pinafore. I built a cannon, and the cannon fired during the show. I got to set off the pyrotechnics during the show. And every night I'd sit there, terrified, press this button, huge bang, and 500 people in the audience would laugh at this thing that I'd made happen. It was glorious. So I started working in theatre that way, and got to experience all sorts of things that you just don't ever experience on a council estate. Theatre de Complicité, Siobhan Davies Contemporary Dance Company, all sorts of stuff, stand-up comedy, so much. And that's all thanks to the people running the theatre at that point. Stephen Holroyd was the technical manager, Martin Harris was the administrator, and David Smith, who looked after the office stuff. And those three people just held the door open to people like me to come in and experience a world we'd never experience otherwise. And the youth tech crew was full of people from my school and from my estate. And we all suddenly were in the middle of this incredible world of creativity and excitement and adventure. So I went on from there to work with small-scale touring companies. I worked with lots of bands through the 90s and put on club nights and things, all coming out of that, and have been working in the arts one way or another since I was 13. Got my first business cards printed and started freelance work when I was 15.
Wow.
And have been freelance and self-employed and constantly out pitching for work ever since then, and I'm nearly 50.
What an amazing journey. I love the fact that you're 15 with your first freelance business card. That's amazing. And so it sounds like you started off in quite a technical world, in quite that kind of technical back of scenes place, but you've kind of morphed into being the lead artist on programs and projects. So how was that transition from being more kind of behind the scenes to being more in front of the scenes?
I got really fed up with dealing with musicians who were idiots, is the truth. I was putting together incredible, and I used to put together shows that were really creative. So the bands and the musicians I worked with, you know, they weren't just standard stage lights. There'd be projections, and I'd custom make bits of film or slide to show behind the band or musician or whatever. I'd design on no budget interesting little stage sets to go out on tour with. So I was already being quite creative with what I could do. And I got really fed up with musicians who you'd sort of put loads of effort in and then they'd sabotage their own career. There was a brilliant little folk act down in Shoreham-by-Sea that I was working with. And I finally got them booked into a decent kind of folk tour of, you know, 200 capacity venues. It would have been a good little start to a possible long career in the arts. And all three of them in it wanted this, they'd all wanted this career to happen. And a week before the tour, they all started falling out with each other over nothing. And I realised that there's a sort of, whatever I was doing, however much I put in, I was at the mercy of the other people doing their bit and sticking up to their bit of the bargain. So I started doing things on my own, standing on my own two feet a bit more. And that led to me going, I think if I keep making these visual things that get projected and I keep making these backdrops, perhaps I'm an artist. So I started working as an artist in my own right. First started on a houseboat in Shoreham by Sea with an exhibition on a houseboat in Shoreham by Sea in 1999-2000. And I've been an artist and a writer ever since.
I love that, the kind of organic growth of an assumption that if you do it yourself, maybe that will make you the artist. I think being an artist is sometimes I meet lots of artists and musicians and poets are the ones that I find struggle the most with referring to themselves as an artist. I mean, musicians like to call themselves musicians as well as artists or creative. And I did a huge program when I was connected to Olympic Park, which was around celebrating and the young poets in London. And one of the biggest things that I took away from that experience was that having a year of being focused through the Young Poet Laureate for London program gave all of those poets an opportunity to say, I am a poet at the end of it. They hadn't been able to kind of own that sense of confidence in that title at the very beginning. And I wonder whether that is part and parcel of being a creative person, or whether it's part and parcel of the lack of value that we place on creative people in societies.
It is interesting, but so many jobs don't struggle with this. If you're a baker, as long as you're making bread, you call yourself a baker.
Yes.
If you're a plumber, as long as there's some pipes that you fixed this week, you're a plumber. You don't question it. And art is a job. What I do is a job. I've got a set of skills that I've built up over all of that time. Skills about engagement, skills about building projects, skills about project management, about managing budgets, about marketing. And that's a set of skills. And it's a job. And what I do is, I love it, but it's a job. And if there came a point when I wasn't earning money or it wasn't working, then I wouldn't be that. And I think sometimes we get a bit sort of worried about the mystical, oh, I'm an artist or I'm a poet or I'm... It's a job. If you're doing the work, then you're it. Then that's
nice.
Your job.
I love that. That's like a manifesto, Dan. I really like that. If you're doing the job of an artist, you are an artist.
Yeah.
That's really cool. And that leads me to my final thing, which is what we always ask our guests on the show is when they're kind of thinking back about their career and kind of explaining their journey, is to think about some of the good advice that they've received over their career, the things that have really inspired them at different points and has made a difference. And it might be something that you read or something that somebody said to you. But if knowing what you know now in all of that, and, you know, notwithstanding the fact that you've just written a manifesto for every artist in the country, knowing what you know now, is there anything that you feel that you could have said to your 18-year-old self to just help him on that journey? So if you met him in the street tomorrow, what would be helpful to say to him?
It would be really boring stuff, I'm afraid. I'd love it to be something spiritual and enlightening, but it would be start a pension or try and buy a house early on. It would be those kind of things. Because the trouble is that I believe in all the other stuff. I believe that this is a great thing and that we can change lives, and I believe that we can open people's imaginations. But I'm still in rented accommodation, and my landlady's about to kick me out, and I don't have a pension, and I'm nearly 50. And I think we don't give time to those practical things. And I think sometimes when I'm dealing with the people in big arts organisations, I'm wondering, why don't they understand what it's like being an artist? It's because they don't understand that stuff. They don't understand the constant fear, the constant worry, the constant anxiety that comes with, not just with being an artist, but with being self-employed. Let's be honest, it's not just about being an artist, it's about being in any self-employed position. So I think I'd say a load of that practical stuff on one level. On the other hand, I would also, I'd also say what I was taught at the Connaught right at the start, which is, at 7:30 p.m. the curtain's got to go up. You can forget your ego, you can forget your tantrums, you can forget how hard it is. At 7:30 the curtain's going up, it's a full house, you've just got to put the show on, it's got to happen.
I really love that kind of combination of very kind of practical, because a lot of the time we do forget some of those practical things, and some of those things are, you know, if you think about Maslow's hierarchy of needs, they're at that kind of base level of need, aren't they? We all need to have a roof over our heads, we all need to have those things to sustain our lives. And it's a shame that during lockdown there was quite a lot of learning across the sector, but also across central government and others, around the fragility of the freelance market And it feels like that's kind of gone away again. It feels like that's sort of just, you know, everyone's sort of forgotten about that.
I don't think it's forgotten. I think it's just really complicated. It's really difficult. And if it's difficult, it's easy just to park it over there and leave it to somebody else to worry about. I think that's the problem. And, yeah, it is difficult. We are in a fragile ecosystem. And that's why there's so few people from my background, from council estates and single-parent families, in the arts at all. Because you do need, you know, you need the security of a family who will support you, whatever. But also you need the confidence that comes with it. I'm constantly questioning everything I do because I know that I'm not supposed to be here. I know that, you know, that I've worked hard and held on, but I'm not supposed to be here. Whereas I meet other people in the arts who come from middle class or well-off backgrounds who just absolutely believe that they're supposed to be here, that they're supposed to be doing this stuff, that they're supposed to get big exhibitions, that people are supposed to watch them, listen to them, worship them. In a way that if you come from my background, you just don't have.
That's really interesting. I think we could do another whole show on this topic, Dan. So you need to come back to the arts programme and we need to talk about community and what community means in the 21st century and all those sorts of things. So there's loads more that we can talk about. But let's just finish off by reminding people that the Great Gathering, Great Weekend Festival starts on Thursday, the 21st of March. At 6 o'clock, and then carries through all day Friday, all day Saturday, and all day Sunday. And if you have an idea that you think could make Basildon better, go along on Sunday, the 24th of March, share your big idea at the Shine Hub from 12 o'clock, and you might be able to win a cash prize to make it happen.
Absolutely. And we've barely touched on what's happening. There's so much going on. We can't mention it all in one show.
We can't. So let's tell people how to find out all about it. Where should they go?
Check out the Creative Basildon stuff on social media, and they'll be promoting it all heavily for us. That's the best place to find it.
Great. And if you want to check out about Creative Basildon, go to creativebasildon.co.uk. All the information is on there as well as all the other things that they're doing across creative people and places in Basildon. Dan, thank you so much for your time today. That's been really amazing, and I hope to see you back on the arts programme very soon.
An absolute pleasure, and I hope you'll have me back again soon. Thank you.
FM.
The directors and management at Brentwood Town Football Club wish to offer you an invitation. Come and join us at the Arena Brentwood and support your local team. We're your local community club and a warm, friendly welcome awaits you. Brentwood Town are looking to mount a serious push for promotion this season. Admission is only £10 for adults and accompanied children under 16 are free. Entrance is just £5 for concessions and students, and unaccompanied under 16s can get in for only £3. So join us and be part of our journey.
At Hutton View, we are proud to be an award-winning care home which delivers high-quality residential and dementia care. Alongside this, residents can also benefit from a wide range of inclusive services. Enjoy time in the cinema, farmhouse kitchen or landscaped gardens. For more information, search Hutton View Care Home and see for yourself why Hutton View is a care home with a difference. Hutton View, a hallmark care home.
Could you give the precious gift of time? Our St Francis Hospice charity shops urgently need more volunteers. By volunteering at our shops, you'll be helping us to make a real difference to local people that need our experienced care. You'll also gain new skills and make new friends along the way. Apply to volunteer in our shops today. Go to sfh.org.uk/volunteer.
At The Mortgage Specialists, we offer whole-of-market mortgage advice. We pride ourselves on keeping things personal, ensuring the advice you receive is perfect for your situation. With over 25 years' experience, we offer our clients clear, independent advice, delivered in a professional way. Whether you're moving, looking to renew your mortgage, or maybe looking to invest in buy-to-let, call us now on Brentwood 222932 to speak with us today. Your home may be repossessed
if you want to pay on your mortgage.
And that's all we've got time for this week. We'll be back next week with some more news and reviews from the arts and cultural world and lots of local events for Easter. Until then, I'm going to leave you with Nigel, our in-house soul and funk DJ, who's going to guarantee to get you moving on a Sunday night. But first, I'm going to leave you with a couple more songs to relax your way into Sunday evening, which is Jose Gonzalez and Anna Pancaldi. Enjoy. I've been Claire, and this has been the Arts Programme on Phoenix FM.
Got nothing to say. I come home in the morning. I go to bed feeling the same way. I ain't nothing but tired. Man, I'm just tired and bored of myself. Hey there, baby. I could just use a little help. You can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark. Messages keep getting clearer. Radio's on and I'm moving around my place. Check my look in the mirror. Wanna change my clothes, my hair, my face. Man, I ain't getting nowhere. I'm just living in a dome like this. Something happening some way. Maybe I just know that there. Can't start a fire. You can't start a fire without a spark. This gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing in the dark. Somewhere in somewhere.
his word off my shoulders. Come on, baby, the left's on me. Stay on the streets of this town, and they'll be carving you up alright. They say you've gotta stay hungry. Hey, baby, I'm just about starving tonight. I'm dying for some action. I'm sick of sitting around here trying to write this book. I need a love reaction. Come on now, baby, give me just one look. Can't start a fire. Sitting around crying. Dancing in the dark, you can't start a fire. When about your little world falling apart, this gun's for hire. Even if we're just dancing.
Across Brentwood and Billericay. This is Phoenix FM News.